Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 20. Have your Bibles, hope you'll open up. We'll be looking at one verse of Scripture today for our text. We'll be sharing with you other verses that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. But we appreciate each and every one of you being here today. I'm grateful for the church. I can't imagine what it would be like to not have church. I know a lot of people said, I don't need church. Well, I want to say, I need church. I need church today more than I've ever needed and in my life, and I'm grateful for it. And the reason I'm thankful for it is not only what it does for me, but what Christ did in order to obtain it. There's a great price that was paid in order that Christ may provide and give to us the church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We may go through some heartaches, we may go through some difficulties, we may go through some trials, and we do. But yet, this is the church that Jesus gave his life for and died in order that we might have a place to worship, to fellowship, and enjoy the blessings of God. I will say that, first of all, I believe that there's the universal church. This is those who are saved by the grace of God, irregardless of what church it is. If they've been born again, saved by the grace of God, then they're part of the body of Christ. That's the universal church. But I'm thankful today for the universal church. Surely without the universal church, none of us would be saved. But I'm also thankful for the local church. I'm thankful today that I have a place to go. I'm thankful to know that I have friends that pray for me every day. I heard some say that this morning to me. I pray for you every day. And I'm grateful that people pray for me because I need prayer. And we all need prayer, and we need to pray one for another. We come to the passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. We find the Apostle Paul giving literally the last and final instructions to the church at Ephesus. He gives quite a little bit of a message in one verse, and I'll not elaborate on it because I want to get to the rest of my message. But there's three things that we notice here. Let me just read it. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Our Father, Lord, today we do thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to gather together in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the church. But, Lord, more than that, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that gave us the church. And, Lord, died for the church and paid for the church. And, Lord, I pray today that you'd help us to be grateful and appreciative of all that you've done for us. Help us never to neglect it, but always help us to love it, to worship it, and to serve and to be faithful to you. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Let me just give you a quick message from here, and then we'll move on. But the first thing, he said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. We're living in a day, I believe, in which we see a lot of people maybe getting away from the things of God, away from the Word of God. Truly, we don't see as many people saved as we used to, and I'd love to see that. But we need to be careful that we watch ourselves and take heed that we're faithful and we continue to be and do what God would have us to do as we walk according to his will. But then another thing he said basically, and I'm going to skip a little bit, he said, remember your position in Christ. He goes on to call them, he said, now who the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. And we talk about feeding, we're not talking about a meal, but we're talking about feeding the Word of God. And I tell you, sometimes we'd be better off to physically starve for a day than to spiritually starve for a day. We need the Word of God, and that's why we come to church. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And then the third thing he says, and we go back up to pick that up, he said, into all the flock, take heed for yourselves. In other words, men of God, elders in the church, you need to watch yourself. And truly today, even in the age in which I live and we live, I have to be careful. I have to guard myself that the devil doesn't get his foot in the door and destroy my ministry and destroy my life. I want to be faithful to doing what God would have me to do. But I've got a greater responsibility than you. My responsibility is to feed the flock and to watch over them and to help them and encourage them that they too would remain in the way that they should be in doing what Christ would have them to do. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, the Bible said, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The church is very important. And I want you to understand why it's so important. I think sometimes we get to the idea that we belong to the church. We do belong to the church. We get to the idea that we own the church. Can I remind you this morning, this is not my church. And this is not your church. Now, it might be we could say that in the terms that we go there. You could say, this is my church, and I'm not condemning or saying that's wrong. But I think sometimes we get to the attitude where we think that this is our church. We built this church. We paid for this church. We've padded the pews, and we put the air conditioning in, and we've done all that stuff. And if we're not careful, we'll neglect to see who really is the author of the church and the provider of the church. And this church doesn't belong to me. It never will belong to me. It belongs to God, and His name ought to be exalted above all else. And I'm grateful today to be the pastor. But I want you to see several things this morning. And I'll get to my message in just a minute. But we see several things this morning. It's important to the Father. Do you understand what it costs the Father for the church? The high cost of the church. It costs the Father His Son. I'm telling you today, if you've got a child, if you've got a son or daughter, it doesn't matter, son or daughter, you love them with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. You could not stand the parting of them. I think how sad it is when children die. I think of how sad it is when children are going through things. My heart goes out to them even more so because they've not even yet to begin to live their life. But God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on an old rugged cross in order that we might have salvation. I'm grateful today that He did. But if it's important enough for the Father to send His Son to die for me, it's important enough for me to love the Father that I'm going to be faithful to Him and serve Him in every area of my life. The second thing we notice, it's important to the Son because He shed His life's blood in order that we might be saved. I'm just telling you, we've got a lot of stake in this thing. In the church, we got a lot of stake because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believed them should not perish but have everlasting life. But the Bible said Jesus Christ hung on the cross and He bled every ounce of blood in order that we might have salvation. I tell you today, you know what I deserve? The same thing you do, hell. But I'm glad today that I don't have to go to hell because Jesus Christ, God the Father first sent His Son, Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ, shed every drop of life blood in order that you and I might have salvation. We ought to treat the church with respect. We ought to treat the church in a way that we love it, we support it, we encourage it, and we tell others about it because it means a lot. It means a lot to the Father and it means a lot to the Son, but it means a lot to me and it ought to mean a lot to you. And then thirdly, we're going to get all three of them in here. It's important to the Spirit. Now, the reason it's important to the Spirit is because God left Him in the world to be busy about calling and equipping people to serve Him in the church. We don't go out and advertise for people to come teach Sunday school in church. We take the people that God has saved by the grace of God, placed in our church, and we have seen them. They're faithful to coming, to hearing the Word of God, and being faithful to doing what God would have them to do. And then we try to place them in a position that they may be a help and an encouragement. But again, remember, they cannot do it, and I cannot do it, apart from the Holy Spirit of Christ, which indwells us. The Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. He directs us in every area of our life. And so today, the church is important. You know, it speaks in the Bible of grieving the Holy Spirit. Today, it grieves the Holy Spirit when we're not faithful. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we're not doing what He's called us to do. If He's called us and He's called, I believe, everyone to be saved, He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But yet, apart from that, if we are saved, God looks for people, Jesus looks for people, and the Holy Spirit is working to gain people that will come into His church. The only thing that's going to make this church what it ought to be, it's not going to be me. I might have a little part in it, but it's going to be you and I who are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in it through us. So even if the church don't mean anything to you, maybe you never even think about it. You just say, well, we got a church to go to. We're kind of inconvenienced right now. But is that too much of an inconvenience? Oh, I don't think so. I believe we're blessed just to have a place we can still worship. And yet today, we ought to understand it. And so I want to speak to you today on just a subject, just for a few minutes, on the high cost of the church. It was expensive, but it didn't cost one dime. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ and what He's done. So I want you to follow along with me. And I want you to see, first of all, there was an earthly cost. There was an earthly cost. cost. The word blood reveals the true cost of the church. I'm grateful today that it doesn't matter how much money we give, and I'm thankful for people that give. We could not do what we do if the church people did not give. But I tell you, no matter how much we give, not one single dime will ever persuade the Lord Jesus to let us into heaven. The only thing that will get you into heaven this morning is the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sin. And I tell you, this burdens me. When I begin to think about it, I'm so afraid today that the church in our hearts and minds becomes just second nature, and we become flippant about it, and we don't realize the seriousness of the church. Listen, what would it be? In fact, I can give you an illustration. What was it like during COVID? Thank the Lord I was able to be here and preach the message, and it was going out over the internet. But many of you sat home and was unable to be here to hear the Word of God and to fellowship with God's people. What if we did not have the church? Well, we're going to have the church because Jesus paid for the church. Ain't nobody can repossess it or take it away. And I'm glad today that no matter what men may do, and they may destroy it, and in places they have destroyed, meeting in a regular church like we do, but God's word still stands, and God still continues to do what he said he would do according to his word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, the Bible said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers." I like this. But I like that when it says but. Usually there's some good stuff coming when he said but. He said, "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Blood, you understand, is what paid the price. But have you ever thought about it? How do you get blood? You have to be wounded. It comes from a wound. Believe me, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ was willing to be wounded in order that we might be saved. And I guess we could even go further than saying wounded. It was more than just a wound. It was several wounds, but it was enough to drain him of every drop of blood. The Bible speaks of the water that came forth with the blood. So to purchase the church, the Son of God was literally required to give his blood. And truly, many of you maybe have given blood through the years and given in order that people might have it. Sometimes there's accidents and they come out and they call for people that can do it to come give blood. I used to give a lot. They don't want it now. I want so much medicine now. They don't really want my blood. And we all did it because it was a wonderful thing, but none of us have never been asked to give all our blood in order that we might save somebody else. Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross. They crucified him. They nailed him to an old rugged tree. And yet it cost him everything he had. And you know how they treated him? According to Matthew 26, Jesus, now remembering, he died. He bled. He purchased the church. But what happened? In Matthew 26, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and he was deserted by his disciples. Man, how is that for thankfulness? How is that for being grateful for the church? What would we do without the church? I tell you today, thank the Lord today that we do have the church, and the church's responsibility is not entertainment. The church's responsibility is to preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering that the man of God may be truly furnished. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus was beaten by the temple guards. How in the world could they take the Son of God, the very one that was giving his life blood for us and for the church? How could they take him and literally take his life, beat him, spit upon him, and mock even so? Matthew 27, he was rejected by the very people he came to save. In John 1:11 and 12, said he came into his own. Boy, this is sad. And his own received him not. But, there's that word again, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. I'm thankful today, even though Jesus said, and somebody said, well, Jesus probably regrets doing it. No, Jesus don't regret doing it. Because I'm going to tell you, if you were the only one living, I believe he'd have still died for you. I believe if I was the only one living, he'd have still died for me. What I do is my free choice, and I can either receive him or reject him, and I can turn away from him, or either I can go my way, or I can either accept him, believe on him, and serve him, and understand what he's done for me. But he didn't stop there. The temple guards scourged him and whipped him there in the temple. He was rejected. But Matthew 27 says he was scourged. I don't understand it, and I'm not going to great detail, but I understand the best of my ability what they did in those days when they scourged somebody. They would take glass chips and put them in the end of a whip, and they would take that person and they would beat them upon their back till there was nothing but blood and raw meat that could be seen. It may not mean much to you, but the reason this morning that we have the privilege of sitting in this church hearing the Word of God, it's not because of me. And it's even though, and I'm not disputing that people have a part in it, they do. But it's not because of any of us. It's because Jesus paid it all when he gave his blood on the cross. And can I tell you what? There's churches that aren't as nice as this. There's churches that's not as big as this. But you know what? They were purchased by the same blood this church was purchased by. We don't need to ever get to think that we're somebody. We don't ever get to the point to where we believe that, you know, we've done well. No, we've not done well. Jesus did well when he died on the cross to provide salvation for you and me. He was mocked by the soldiers. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. I cannot imagine what it would be like. Oh, I'm sure the mocking, he was used to that. He had heard it all the time that he was here upon the earth. And I'm sure that maybe was not so difficult upon him. But again, there's those words I'm talking about. Words can hurt you. And no doubt they did hurt him because he realized that they were mocking the very one that died for them. And by the way, Jesus did die for them. He died for the very ones that put him to death. But it was our sins that crucified him on the cross. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Every Easter, and we still have it somewhere, Brother Frank Parker made us a crown of thorns. It's got thorns on it like that. I have to be very careful when I handle it because it still will stick. Just being careful. But I can't imagine it being placed on the Son of God's head. And they didn't just place it there. They pushed it down into his skull, and blood began to run down his face. You know why? Because he was paying for the church, for you and me, to be saved in, to be baptized in, to serve the Lord in, and give us the graciousness of all he's done. I guess this would be of even greater sadness. According to Matthew 27:35, he was stripped naked. Can you imagine the shame and reproach of being hanging there in front of people totally naked? Yet they did not care. And by the way, let me remind you, all through it all, he could have come down, but he didn't. He stayed on the cross in order that he might purchase our salvation. Matthew 27:35 also says he was crucified. He was nailed to a cross. He was hung to die. It didn't happen immediately. He suffered greatly. I'm telling you today, I'm just trying to get you to understand the importance of the church. People today don't seem to think church is important anymore. I'm glad today for our church. I'm glad today that we're still a Baptist church. I still believe in the Baptist doctrine. I believe in the Word of God. And I don't need a new name. And I don't need a new Savior. I have all I need. And he's purchased everything that we need according to his blood. And I want us to understand the importance of how much we need to love him. And then in Isaiah 50, it said he was marred beyond belief. He was so unrecognizable. They had tortured him in such a way. But again, could I emphasize, he did that for you and me. We ought to love him because of it. There was an earthly cost, but there was also an eternal cost. One aspect of the price that he paid continues today. And I want you to see that. You don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. You remember The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Lost my place. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I've seen people curse God. I've seen people blaspheme God. I've seen people ignore God. And they refuse and they reject and they will not be saved. But I can tell you one day, they will kneel on their knee and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It saddens me because if they'd accepted him, they would have been kneeling all right, but if not because of that. And I'm grateful today that when Jesus died, he died for us. It teaches us that when Jesus came down, can you imagine? I know our loved ones die and they go to heaven. And I know sometimes we sure would love to have them back. But I'm not so sure that my daddy wouldn't probably get mad at me if I brought him back today. I think he's enjoyed being with the Lord Jesus Christ. My daddy wouldn't be happy, and I'm just using this illustration, hypothetical. My daddy would not have been happy to leave heaven and come back to this earth and take on himself the form of the human as he had before, taking back all the pain, all the suffering, all the heartaches that he endured. I don't think my daddy would appreciate it if I could bring him back, because he wouldn't want to come. But imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, leaving the portals of glory, heaven, the street of gold, the walls of jasper, but most of all, his heavenly Father. But he left it. He came to this earth and took upon himself the form of a servant and became like as we are. He did so when he rose from the dead, and I'm glad he did rise from the dead. He did so in a glorified body. But I believe today his body is still a human body, and I'll give you scripture for that in a minute. But I believe today when he comes back for us, he's coming in a human body. Notice it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus came in a human body to Bethlehem. We all know that because we celebrated Christmas, the birth of our Savior, all that he does for us and all that he will do. Jesus lived in that human body for 33 years. He did not have it easy. He lived upon this earth for 33 years trying to convince people and share with his disciples what they needed. He was human in every aspect of the word. He never ceased to be God, but he was 100% human. You said that's impossible. You're right. But with God, nothing is impossible. And God's able to do what we can't do within ourselves. Matthew 21 said he knew what it was like to hunger. In John chapter 19, it said he knew what it was like to thirst. In John chapter 4, he knew what it was like to be weary. In Matthew 28, verse number 9, he knew what it was like to be sleepy and need sleep. I want you to know in the human body, Jesus experienced everything that you and I have ever experienced. He endured the pain, the suffering, the heartache, the disappointment, the hunger, the thirst, and all those things that go along with it. Why? In order that he might make his way to a cross and die in order that we might have church. I think we ought to get excited about our church. I think we ought to rejoice in what God has done for us in order that he's provided a place where his name can be exalted above all measure. He died in a human body. He was born in Bethlehem, human. He died, we find, in a human body on the cross, according to John 19, verse 28 through 34. I'll not take time to read it. And what did he do? He rose from the dead in a human body. He was seen by people after he rose. He was still in a human body. And Jesus, even after his resurrection, he cooked and ate with the disciples, according to John chapter 21, verse 9 through 15. And according to Acts chapter 1:10, he ascended back into heaven. And let me just go ahead and quote that. The Bible said in verse 10 and 11, it said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus which you saw taken up will what? In like manner come again, that he may receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we be also. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming again, and he's coming in the human body, and we're going to recognize him. We're going to hear the trumpet. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16, he's coming back in a human body. When we see him, we'll see him in a human body. Jesus forever. Now, you said, well, now, wait a minute. I thought we got to heaven. We were going to have body. We're going to have wings and all that stuff and be flying around. I don't know about all that. But I know one thing. The Bible said we're going to be changed, and we're going to receive a body like unto his. And again, I don't know what he might do when we get to heaven, but the best I can understand, when he comes back for us, he's coming humanly as he left here, because he said he would, according to his word. There was an earthly cost, but there was an eternal cost. But thirdly, there was an exciting cost. You see, why did Jesus do all this? Why did he do it? He did it for one reason, and one reason only, is because he loved you and loved me. Ephesians 5:25, because he loved us, he was willing to pay the ultimate price. No one could ever know the love of God. We strive in our life to have the love that he had, but he had the greatest of all loves. For what love could give his life on the cross? What love could cause the Father to send his Son to die? For heathens, wickedness. Those that have sinned against him, just to know God loves us so much and he was willing to sacrifice for the glory of heaven in order that he might purchase and pay for the sin that we might be saved. Because he loved for us and died for us, all those who place their faith and trust in him, their sins can be forgiven. I don't know about you, but that excites me. I'm thankful today. Listen, I've not lived a perfect life, and I've gone through some hardships and things, and there's been times I've not always done what I needed to do, but I'm thankful today when Jesus purchased the church, when he bought the church and he gave us the church. I'm glad today that he also continued. His blood still has the cleansing power to forgive us of all our sins. I talked to a man yesterday. I'm just telling you what he said. He was standing there talking to me and Susan, and he said, I went to a church, and he said, I used to be so upset because they kept telling me that if I did anything or if I sinned or if I backslid, I had to get saved again. He said, one day I walked out there, and I said, this is the final trip here. He said, I'm not going there no more. He said, somebody invited me to church, and I went to church. And he said, the preacher preached about the love of God and how nothing could separate him from the love of God. And how he had done him and saved him. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus don't give, he don't pay in counterfeit money. He pays in money that will purchase the price that needs to be paid for salvation through all eternity. And I'm thankful this morning that I'm saved. And I'm not only saved, but I know I'm saved. And I want to serve him and love him with all my heart. Because he loved us, he died for us. And you know why he died for us? To save us from the wrath to come. Can you imagine if he hadn't have saved us? We'd all spend eternity in hell. And all those that reject him will. But I can tell you what, hell is no place you want to be. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I tell you today, I'm glad I don't lose my salvation, but sometimes I'm preaching, I want to get saved again. It's so good. It's just wonderful, and I know you can't get saved again. I believe when you get saved, you get saved. You say, what about somebody? They got baptized three times. It don't matter as long as they got it right the last time. That's all I'm concerned about. Or as long as they got it right the first time. Who knows? But as long as they know they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his children forever. And he'll never, never kick us to the curb. He's got our back. For God, the cost of salvation was extremely high. I have never in all my ministry been asked to sacrifice anything comparatively to what he did. All I've been asked to do is live a pure life, a holy life, and to serve him and be faithful to him and to show my respect and appreciation for what he's done for me. For you see, salvation is a free gift. And when you get saved, it frees us from the power of sin. Used to go to church. I used to date a girl back when I was a teenager. And her daddy was a Pentecostal preacher. And I used to go to church with him. And they used to sing a song. And they got happy when they did it. And I like it. I liked it. I got happy too. But it said, he set me free. I tell you today, thank the Lord, I'm standing before you today, a man that's been set free from the bondage of sin, saved by the grace of God, perfect, no, but thank God my sins have been forgiven, and I'm saved and on my way to heaven today, and I will be tomorrow and next week and however long God gives me until he calls me home. He has secured me in his love. He even called us friends when we were sworn enemies. Jesus loves his church. He paid the ultimate price. If you're saved today, it ought to be a good opportunity just to praise him and praise his holy name for what he done. But there was a high cost for the church. And I'm thankful today that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow.